Ahoy everyone, this is the audio journal for Voyagers Under Sail, recording number 15. If I remember right, today is August 22nd, it's Wednesday, and we are in Cartagena. We just finished our crossing from Ibiza to mainland Spain, Cartagena, 160 nautical miles crossing. We arrived here last night around 8 o'clock. We left Ibiza on Monday morning around 6 o'clock in the morning. We planned this crossing pretty well in terms of we looked at the wind, we looked at the forecast, and we hoped for, 10, 12, maybe 15 knots of wind to take us across. One of the issues was that we had very little diesel left in our tank, maybe 50-60 liters by my approximation. So I kind of knew that a 40-hour crossing cannot be done under engine. We need to sail because the engine, 50 liters of diesel will last us for about 20 hours of motoring. And on the last recording, I was talking about the fact that I dropped two anchors to make sure that we don't move from our spot. So here we are at 5 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning, weighing out the anchors. And when the chain was coming out from the sea, I just see the shackle for the second anchor. The second anchor somehow cut loose and it was on the bottom of the bay. And that didn't really make me happy. It was around 5:30 in the morning. That was the new anchor that I bought, like the secondary anchor. It was a fisherman design kind of anchor, traditional, but it was foldable, 25 kilograms. And I paid for it just short of 200 euro with delivery and everything. And here I was at the point where I had to decide, I wait for daylight and then try to recover the anchor from the seabed, or we just get out of the anchorage and start our crossing. And because I knew the wind is gonna die later in the day, and because the water is pretty deep, was close to 8 meters, and I know from my previous experience that I wouldn't be able to free dive more than maybe 6 meters. I kind of knew that if I delay and stay there for daylight and try to recover the anchor, I probably won't be able to do it by myself. I'll need, a diver or a professional snorkeler to help me recover it. Fact number one. And fact number two, the wind will die and we won't have any wind to do the crossing with very little diesel. That will mean that we need to go into port, put the diesel in the tank, and delay our crossing even more. And on top of that, because of the 40 hours average time to do this crossing, we will arrive in the middle of the night in Cartagena, not during daytime. So all of this made me take the decision to just take the loss, accept the loss, let the anchor there and start our crossing. I want to make it clear, this was the second anchor, the original anchor that's at the bow of the boat, it's still there, it's still fine. That was the secondary anchor that I attached to the chain as an extra weight and an extra point of anchoring. That's the one that got loose. So we started our crossing from Ibiza towards Cartagena. And for the first day, it was beautiful. We had 9 to 14 knots of wind. We put the pulled out the head sail, and with the main sail, we were doing 4.5, 5, 5.5, sometimes even 6.5 knots. It was beautiful. It was an absolutely perfect day of sailing. And then the evening came and the wind started to die, and we started to do less and less. You know, our speed dropped to 3.5, 3 knots. And in the middle of the night, we are barely doing 1.5, maybe 2 knots of boat speed. So we had to start the engine around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And we ran under engine, we moved under engine for the rest of the crossing until 8 o'clock in the evening, and in 7 o'clock Tuesday evening. That's a lot of hours. You're looking at, you know, 15 hours of engine. We tried to stop the engine a couple of times, put the sails up, and try to get something of the 6 knots of wind that were that was blowing from our back, but the sails were just flapping, and we didn't make any proper progress. And I did my calculations, and with the time that we wasted moving at only 1 or 2 or even 3 knots, we kind of fell behind the schedule. And at that point, I think it was 9-10 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday morning, I realized that if you don't maintain 5 knots of boat speed, we won't arrive during daytime in Cartagena. And being a new port and all of that, I wanted to arrive during daytime, you know, to make sure that I don't make a mistake while I try to berth and all of that, to park the boat. So that was the decision that, you know, I had to run the engine and at a, you know, at a decent speed. I was checking the diesel level every 5 hours, and I could see the, you know, the level dropping. You see the tank has kind of a V shape, so the less diesel we have, the faster it kind of the level goes down. It doesn't go at a constant speed, so to speak. And at some point I realized we have less than 20 liters of diesel in the tank, if 20 liters of diesel. It was yesterday afternoon. We were like about 4 or 5 hours away from the port. And while I was on the deck, looking after, you know, fixing something, there was this big thud, big noise coming from the engine, like the whole boat shook for a second. And that really frightened me. I didn't know what happened. I was afraid that, you know, something came loose in the engine room. We stopped the engine. I opened the engine compartment. I looked inside. Everything looked fine. It was very hot. It was like, you know, 55, 60 degrees in the engine room easily. Because I checked the temperature of the batteries, and the batteries are in the engine room, and they were 57 degrees. That's really hot. So that was a big scare. When I made sure that everything is fine, I checked the filter for the diesel. It looked like there was diesel in the filter, so I knew that there was fuel on the line. I checked the level for the diesel again. There was still maybe 15, 20 liters of diesel left. So we started again the engine, and everything was fine. So I don't have an explanation for that big shake. I suppose one of the pistons kind of misfired, or something happened there. Probably it's not uncommon. So we kept going under engine towards the port, and the next big scare, I went into the V-berth. The door was closed, and there was a kind of a smell of hot plastic, you know. And the battery for the boat thruster and the anchor, it's in the V-berth under the bed, under the bunk. And I lifted the cushions and I lifted the planks, and the battery was really, really hot. Like, you can, if I was to drop an egg on the battery, it would fry. It was that hot. And the reason for that is because I have so much stuff packed in the V-berth, even around the battery. You know, there is a bit of space around the battery, like, you know, 10 inches and so, but everything else is packed, so there is no proper airflow going in through there. And because the engine was running for so long, 15 hours, it was constantly putting power to recharge that battery. Even the wires were hot. I really panicked. Imagine that battery could explode or set on fire, or a wire can set on fire, because there is a lot of stuff in there that probably, you know, too easily if it's hot, will probably catch fire pretty easily. So I opened the hatch, I took out the cushions and everything that was covering the batteries and let the air flow. I disconnected the battery, so there is no more power coming to the battery for the rest of the crossing. That was my second biggest scare during this crossing. But, you know, around 7:30, we arrive in the port in Cartagena, very calm. The staff here is really, really pleasant. The services are really good. The town itself, from what we've seen last night, it's beautiful, full of history, lots of character, like really good character, not too much tourism. A beautiful city, I highly recommend it. The approach to the port, it's a bit boring and industrial looking, you know, you have all the tankers and the big dock for the commercial ships, but once you pass that and you come into the yacht port, it's a really nice place. So after I tied the boat to the pontoon, we head into town for pizza, and I knocked back two big beers before I even know what's going on, because I just wanted to, you know, to get a little bit tipsy and go to bed later and sleep without even having to worry about anything. That was our crossing from Ibiza to Cartagena. So if there are two lessons to be learned from this, is always keep a jerry can of 20 liters of diesel on board. If somehow you find yourself in the situation that you run out of diesel, you have another 20 liters to put in the tank, and that will give at least me 5, 6, maybe 7 hours of motoring if I have to. So that's one lesson. The second lesson, do not run the engine more than, let's say, 2 or 3 hours at a time. And if for some reason I have to run the engine for so long, I need to make sure that the battery in the boat thruster, in the V-bars, has good airflow, like the cushions are lifted and the planks that cover the bunk. And even disconnect the battery from the power supply just to keep it at a normal temperature. That was a very stupid mistake. I could have set the boat on fire without even knowing, and that will be the end of the of the big adventure. Us on a life raft, if you have time to put it in the water, and you know, sinking a few miles from the coast from a stupid fire. Okay, that was that, and this is this update. I realized that I didn't speak too much about Claudia and the children during the past few recordings. So let me spend a few minutes talking about them. First, let's talk about David. He already changed. Not having the PlayStation and access to the internet as much as he used to, he started reading books. He spends time with us. We interact, we talk, he asks questions, all kinds of questions, from ones that drive me mad to questions that get me going for half an hour and I tell him interesting things. But let's not forget, he's only 12, so of course some of his questions are pretty silly. One question that got everybody talking yesterday was, would you like to kill yourself, or what was that, Claudia? Would you rather kill yourself or have 1 million people live? What was that?
Would you rather kill yourself to save 1,000 people?
Yeah, would you rather...
Or have 1,000 people kill themselves for you?
Okay, so would you rather kill yourself to have 1,000 people live? Or would you have 1,000 people kill themselves for you to live? So now, you take that question and give a proper answer and go into philosophy and figure out what's worth more, your life or 1,000 other people's lives, and how do you choose those 1,000 people. Okay, That's David at the moment, and I'm really proud of him. He's really smart. You know, I love the way he sings, and even last night when he went to town, he would take his football, and he was dribbling and doing all kind of tricks in the street, in the square, on our way to get a pizza, and on the way back, without any shame or any restrictions, and that's him. Tia, or Dora, she's spending lots of time with her friend Kira. Kira will leave the boat tomorrow morning. She'll go back to Ireland, and from then on, it's going to be just us, the four of us, the family. So, no, girls are girls. They go shopping, they go to see town, they talk about makeup, Instagram, Snapchat, all that kind of stuff. Dora is reading as well, but no, she was the girl who liked books before, but now she's really caught up in reading. She was very happy that we made it to Ibiza, because she's 15, okay, so let's not forget that. And so for her, Ibiza was like an icon city, a place that you really want to see and you want to discover the party town. So that's Dora. And Claudia, she's very happy. She got a lot more relaxed. And she looked very young last night. The children said. Probably it was, you know, after the stress of doing this crossing, she kind of know. The worry-free face made her fresher a few years younger. The only time I see Claudia really annoyed is when she goes down into the galley to cook because it's hot. But we cannot have the hatches or the side windows open during crossing, because you know you get one wave into the boat and you get a lot of things wet. So we have to keep them closed. So of course it's getting very hot down below, and with cooking it gets even hotter. That's one little inconvenience. But we as a family, we feel stronger. The bond is getting stronger. It's not the same as back in Ireland when we just get on with our jobs, the kids will get on with their school, and there will be very little contact between us apart from breakfast or dinner. So from that point of view, we are really happy that we are doing this trip. It really helps us as a family a lot. And that's it for now. We'll talk again probably after we see Cartagena, and when we leave for Gibraltar, which is going to be in a few days, 4 or 5 days. But for the moment, we are in Cartagena. If anyone wants a free anchor from the bottom of the bay, close to Ibiza, let me know and I'll send you the coordinates and you just go and pick it up. I realized that if people want to get in touch with me, I didn't really provide any means of receiving any meaningful messages or anything like that. So the only way to get in touch with me now straight away is to send me a text message to my mobile, okay? I don't know if it's wise to put my mobile up on the internet, but it's up on the internet anyway, so if anybody is actually searching my name, they will find my mobile, because my mobile is linked to my business, so it's not such a big secret. Now, so if you want to send me a text message of any kind, and if you want to ask a question, or if you want to just tell me how silly I am or how good I am at what I'm doing, please send it to 00353 86 887 6679, and my name is Tibby, TIBBY. It's short for Tiberio. If you send me the text message, I'll do my best to acknowledge and answer it in my next recording. Thank you all. Goodbye.